Labor unrest? It's still going on at Amazon. It's the Business News headlines for Monday, the 8th day of July. Thanks for being with us, everybody. A new study of workers at Huawei indicate there are strong ties to the Chinese military. Remember us saying it's always about profit? We've got more proof today. There's a new study about states that are literally falling apart, and we'll share the top five. Employees are spending hundreds of dollars to avoid their co-workers. Hey, you got gas? It's a big deal. Those stories plus Laura Kennard on business networking and education. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Business News Hour. I know we get a full work week this week, right? Well, in a sign that even with a $15 an hour wage promise, there are still labor issues at Amazon.com. Workers at a Shakopee, Minnesota fulfillment center plan a six-hour work stoppage on July 15th. That is the first day of Prime Day. Amazon started the event 5 years ago using deep discounts on televisions, toys, and clothes to attract and retain Prime members. So, what's the beef? Well, workers in Minnesota say they're doing this to talk about what it takes to make one-day delivery work and how that promise puts exhausting pressure on worker safety and reliability. In Europe, where unions are stronger, Amazon workers routinely strike during big shopping events like Prime Day and Black Friday. Until now, Amazon's U.S. workers haven't walked off the job during key sales days. As one of the world's most valuable companies, led by Jeff Bezos, the world's wealthiest person, Amazon has become a symbol of income inequality. Critics say it benefits from tax breaks to build warehouses, but pays workers so little that some are forced to seek government assistance for basic needs like food and health care. The pledge to pay $15 an hour didn't happen until the company had weathered attacks from politicians, such as presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders, who proposed a Stop Bezos Act that would have imposed a tax on companies like Amazon to make up for the cost of government benefits like Medicaid for their employees. Logistically, the strike will probably amount to little more than a hiccup to Amazon. Why? Because other facilities and people can easily pick up any slack. Still, the action shows that Amazon workers, buoyed by a tight labor market and employee activism elsewhere, have been emboldened to demand better treatment. Nor will the political pressure go away. Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have both called Amazon out over allegations it interfered with Whole Foods workers' right to organize. A study conducted by Christopher Balding, an associate professor at Fulbright University, Vietnam, and London-based think tank Harry Jackson Society, looked at CVs of Huawei employees that were leaked online from unsecured databases and websites run by recruitment firms. What'd they find? The study concludes that key mid-level technical personnel employed by Huawei have strong backgrounds in work closely associated with intelligence gathering and military activities, and that some employees can be linked to specific instances of hacking or industrial espionage conducted against Western firms. So, why does all this matter? Several countries are currently debating the role Huawei will play in 5G. That's the next generation of mobile data networks that promises super-fast internet speeds that could help underpin technologies like driverless cars. The U.S. and Australia have effectively banned Huawei, but other companies like the U.K. are still weighing their options. In a bid to boost profits, Deutsche Bank has unveiled a radical overhaul that will see the lender exit its equities business, post a $3.1 billion second quarter loss, and cut the workforce by one-fifth. That's 18,000 workers. Analysts said that while the restructuring was broader than expected, the newly announced targets will be tough to achieve. In a statement, Deutsche Bank said it will accelerate its shift away from institutional trading clients like hedge funds and asset managers and will instead focus on servicing big companies, offering them cash management, trade finance, and hedging. Well, here's a list nobody wants to be on, and it has to do with a failing of roads and bridges in the United States. Here's the background. Though the U.S. economy has grown at a steady pace over the past century, infrastructure spending has apparently not kept up. Federal, state, and local governments invested the equivalent of 4.2% of GDP in infrastructure projects in the late 1930s. That, according to a report published by the Congressional Research Service. As of 2016, though, infrastructure spending totaled just 1.5% of GDP. And that low level of spending is showing up. Today, state and local spending account for the vast majority of infrastructure investment, and some states are doing better jobs than others at maintaining roads and bridges. Using data from the Federal Highway Administration, 24/7 Wall Street reviewed the share of bridges that are structurally deficient and the share of roadways that are unserviceable to identify the states that are literally falling apart. Here's a list of the top five. Coming in at number one is tiny Rhode Island. According to this study, the state has the highest roads in poor condition and the highest number of structurally deficient bridges. Number two in the nation is Alaska, even though the state spends the most on highways by driver. The third worst state in the nation when it comes to infrastructure is Iowa, with over 7.5% of roads in poor condition, but a whopping 19.5% of bridges that are deficient. West Virginia ranks fourth when it comes to bad roads and bridges, and number five is New Jersey. The best state in the nation when it comes to infrastructure is Nevada, followed by Florida and then Utah. Arizona and Vermont round out the top five. Well, here's an interesting trend we've spotted, and it has to do with checking out of the office and checking in to co-working facilities. Co-working spaces are typically seen as the area for freelancers and startup founders, but now employees are spending up to $300 to $400 a month on memberships to get away from their offices, and in some case, to get away from the people in their offices. And that is boosting the business of co-working. In a new report, we learn that the flexible workplace industry overall has grown at a rate of approximately 23% each year since 2010. And get this, by 2030, flexible office space will make up 30% of all U.S. offices. That's up from 5% today. So what's the draw? Well, oftentimes better working conditions, better lighting, better amenities, and a better sense of community. However, working from home or a co-working space can be a problem for your career. Leadership is seen as being there, and if you're gone, will upper management notice your abilities? But clearly it seems to be an issue some are just fine with. Just in case you've run out of stuff to worry about, it seems that the United States is awash with natural gas. That ought to be a good thing, right? Well, the problem is getting the product to consumers. U.S. natural gas production rose to a record of more than 37 trillion cubic feet last year. That's up 44% from a decade earlier. Yet, the infrastructure needed to move gas around the country hasn't kept up. Pipelines aren't in the right places, and when they are, they're usually decades old and often too small. This problem has created wide swings in the price and even the availability of natural gas, even as drillers in Texas are burning off excess fuel. With U.S. homes, power plants, and factories using more natural gas than ever, the uneven distribution of the shale boom's bounty means that consumers can end up paying more or even become starved for fuel, while companies that can't get it to market lose out on profits. Yet another infrastructure story. And finally, this interesting tidbit. First, it was plastic straws, then coffee cups. Now, two young campaigners concerned about the impact of plastic on the environment have turned their attention to McDonald's Happy Meals. They say the plastic toys included with kids' meals can't be recycled and usually end up in the trash. And they have launched a petition that has already gotten 325,000 signatures. The campaign was launched by two kids aged 10 and 7. McDonald's says it's set up a global working group to address Happy Meals packaging next year. Coming up next, it's Laura Kennard from Drake University, DMAC, and DMBizMixer.com on business events happening in the Des Moines Metro this week, here on the Business News Headlines.